Friend of the station, David Schoenfield of ESPN.com, has a great piece up about cracking the MLB superstar code. And much like, David, I did when I was a kid, I read a lot of baseball books. And you based your thought process with the article, the genesis of the article, I love this, was a book that you had as a kid called All Pro Baseball Stars. You wanted to figure out who are the superstars of 2021. But I remember books like that when I was a kid, too. It's always fun to look back and see how things like that were done, how different things are today.
Yeah, we need to bring those books back, right? We're told kids aren't as interested in baseball. Maybe we need All Pro Baseball Stars 2021 to spur their interest.
Maybe, David. Well, can you break this down for us? Describe the formula that you concocted to rank the players.
Well, look, this is just kind of a fun thing. You know, I don't think it's meant to be taken too seriously, but I'll try to describe this as easily as possible. So I looked at, for every player, their three-year cumulative WAR, wins above replacement, but then they get bonus points for how they fared in MVP balloting. If their team won a World Series, you get some bonus points if you were the World Series MVP, because clutch performance matters. And then for a few players, you get a bonus point if you have one of the top-selling jersey in baseball, which kind of has nothing to do with your on-field performance, but it's kind of a reflection of, are you a superstar? You know, how popular are you? So it's mostly how good you are, but with a few other factors tossed in.
And those couple of World Series championships put Mookie Betts over Mike Trout as number one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. We all kind of generally agree that Mike Trout is still the best player in baseball, but I think there's no doubt if you say who's the number one superstar, it's Mookie, right? You know, he's a great player. He's won an MVP. Plus, he won the World Series in 2018 and 2020, and he's a fun, exciting, popular player. So I'm pretty comfortable saying Mookie Betts is the man right now. No disrespect to Mike Trout.
I'm with you, David. I think Mookie Betts is the biggest superstar in the game right now. But I would say Fernando Tatis Jr. might be the most popular player in the game right now. You have him on the cover of video games. He's on TV all the time. He's doing a lot of endorsements. It feels like from a popularity standpoint that he's rising to the top.
Yeah, he is. And I heard, you know, my formula is not perfect because it's looking back more than projecting forward. So Tatis and Ronald Acuna Jr. didn't make my list of 24, which is probably a little bit of a flaw in the formula. Maybe I can tweak it, but I'm with you. You know, obviously he's got to stay healthy and get back on the field, but he's absolutely dynamic. We all know that. Probably the most exciting player, you know, and then Acuna's right behind him and off to a great start. You know, no doubt Acuna is going to be very high on this list next year. If Tatis is healthy, he'll be on there. You know, clearly both players who can win an MVP award at some point.
So, David, we're in St. Louis. We're in a market that is absolutely obsessed with baseball. So I don't know if St. Louis applies to this. And we talk about this all the time, about baseball as a national sport. It's certainly a regional sport. You follow your team, you follow your division, yep. But you don't necessarily get a lot of exposure to other players. So I'm looking at this list that you compiled, and I'm looking at all these players saying, absolutely, they have a superstar factor. But I wonder if you walked into any grocery store throughout America and showed a picture of Matt Chapman and ask someone who he was if they would know. And I think baseball has a real issue when it comes to marketing their superstars. And I was just curious what you thought about that.
Yeah, look, this, you know, we've been discussing this as long as I've been in baseball. Why can't baseball do a better job of marketing its superstars? And, you know, I would argue that last guy that had that broad national appeal was probably Ken Griffey Jr., right? And that was way back in the 90s. You know, I think sometimes we focus too much that this is a negative, and I get it. You know, the top 10 players in the NBA are more famous, more popular nationwide than the top 10 players in baseball. But we also need to look at the fact that the popularity locally is very strong. You know, local TV ratings for MLB teams trump NBA teams in almost every city. You know, so it is popular locally. Yeah, baseball, could they do a better job? And I think some of that has to come from the players, you know, and we're seeing that with, guys like Tatis and Mookie who are a little more out there on Instagram or social media. So some of that has to come from the players and not the league, where the NBA players are, you know, they're very good at putting themselves out there.
David Schoenfeld of ESPN.com with us on 101 ESPN. Okay, if you would have blindly just done the math here and then unveiled the names, David, there's only one name of the top 24 that surprised me. And
okay.
I bet you know who it is. Who is your surprise if you had a number one out of the top 24?
Well, I there's probably two that jumped out at me. Justin Verlander, just because he's injured, mm-hmm. but... You know, my argument was you got to sort of earn your way off. And last year was a short season. He was hurt. He's going to miss this year. So he'll be off after next year. Maybe Marcus Semien is
Bingo.
The surprise. Yeah, and I get that. You know, he's had one great year, but it was a monster year. 2019, finished third in the MVP voting. But I'm with you. That was an outlier. You know, he has no other season close to that level. And I think if 2020 had played out over a full season, he's probably not on the list. But since 2020, you know, was only 60 games, it's not valued as highly as a normal year. So he's on the list. But, yeah, he probably no doubt falls off after this year.
And you have logical guys joining the list. You mentioned Acuna Jr., Trey Turner, Giolito, and Corey Seager. I'll bet if you do the exact same thing next year with all of these different attributes that you have, I'll bet Nolan Arenado moves up from 22.
Yeah, I had him as a potential guy who's falling off, in part because, you know, he was hurt last year, didn't have a great season. Yeah, I wasn't comfortable about suggesting he might fall off because I think he's going to have a big year. I'm not worried at all about the Coors Field thing. I think actually that's going to help him, you know, sort of normalize the way he sees pitches. Defensively, I don't think he's lost a step yet. Actually, I think it's a good point. I think people are going to actually maybe potentially appreciate him more after this season when he puts up the exact same numbers as he did with the Rockies, only it's at sea level, whatever the altitude there is in St. Louis, and he hits 38 home runs and wins a Gold Glove, and we're like, oh, yeah. It's not just a Coors Field thing with his numbers.
And you could not have walked around last Thursday downtown St. Louis without seeing a Nolan Arenado jersey somewhere. His jersey sales are going to rise. He'll probably be on a playoff team. So all those other little, not little, but all those points that you get for those sorts of things are going to rise too.
Yeah, you know, like Yadier Molina is usually right around the top 10 in jersey sales. I know I only gave bonus points for the top five. Going back historically, Yadi's been in the top 10 a couple times. So, yeah, when the Cardinals have a star, their fans buy their jersey, no doubt.
And, David, before we let you go, we wanted to get your take on the Cardinals. What are your early observations of this team?
Yeah, I was watching, you know, last night's game. There's all these great pitching matchups. So one of the games I had on was the Strasburg-Flaherty matchup. You know, too early to make any judgments. I don't know how the feeling there is in St. Louis, Flaherty. I thought he kind of scuffled through an okay outing, you know, wasn't throwing a lot of first pitch strikes. So I don't think he's at that level we saw in the second half of 2019. And given sort of some of the other question marks in the rotation, I think they really need him to get close to that level. Look, you can't expect a 0.90 ERA or whatever he had the second half that year. But, you know, you want him to be a true number one ace. But, look, the lineup with Arenado is going to be much better, you know, than it was last year. And that, look, that division, we know it's wide open. So they're going to be right there, no doubt.
And, David, I'm telling you, I see way too many pitchers that are throwing 100 pitches in five innings. They need to expand the strike zone and get it back to what the rule is.
Well, you know, it's the game we play now. The pitchers are trying to throw a perfect pitch, every pitch, and then the batters are waiting for that one mistake. So it's, you know, I used to not like college baseball because you could almost start every batter with a 3-2 count. We're kind of getting that a little bit to the major leagues. Like, every batter's running up the count. These pitchers run up their pitch counts. I was watching Shane Bieber last night, and it was such a joy to watch. He had 86 pitches through eight innings. You know, he threw a lot in the ninth, but, you know, strike one, strike two, strike three, you know, you don't have to strike every batter out. get some ground balls, get a few fly balls, pitching to contact. I know we all want to strike out every batter, but pitching to contact can work. So we don't need to strike out 14 guys a game.
David Schoenfield, we always enjoy and appreciate your work at ESPN.com. Thanks so much for the time this morning, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks again.
Take care. David Schoenfield, read the piece at ESPN.com, Cracking the MLB Superstar Code.